another benefit I want to call out for doing this is that if someone looks at the landing page and they're not interested, they'll leave right then. And it's only the really interested ones that will continue on, which means that once they actually get to Amazon, they're way more likely to convert. And so my conversion rate on Amazon is like insane. And Amazon loves that. And it boosts you up the rankings.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, we are getting super duper practical with a super duper fast growth bootstrapped startup. My guest is really focusing on niche. She's really keeping her business simple, but she is driving the results, and she'll be telling us the inside track on a couple of the very cool marketing pieces she's doing. And there's a nice big chat about community as well. Please listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips and my own take on this episode. Running ads across a broad channel mix, but unsure where to invest your next pound? Alvi helps e-commerce experts like you with full funnel attribution, budget allocation, and automated bidding towards real business outcomes, so you can stop guessing and start scaling. Take children's clothing retailer POP, for example, who saw a 27% increase in average order value after implementing Alvi's bidding signals. Do you want similar results? Then go to ecmp.info/Alvi and book your demo. Make sure you add the note e-commerce master plan when you book to get your 3-month free trial. That's ecmp.info/Alvi to book your demo. ecmp.info/Alvie. And now to introduce our special guest. Alina is the founder of Dudewoof, a dog brand focused on doodles. Founded in 2023, they hit $600,000 in sales in year one and are on track for sales of $2 million this year. Some super great growth going on there. They're already multi-channel, selling on their Shopify store, TikTok shop, and Amazon. Hello, Alina.
Hi, Chloe. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here, and huge congrats on creating such cool growth in such a tiny niche. I'm sure we'll get into all of that, but huge congrats to you for what you've achieved so far. How did you get into e-commerce, though?
So in 2023, I was laid off from my tech job. I didn't have any experience in e-commerce or entrepreneurship, but I took that as a sign from the universe that if there was any time to start a business, it'd be now. And I picked up this book, and it was happened to be about e-commerce. And I was reading it, and I was like, I think I can do this. And a lot of what it talked about was, instead of focusing on selling a product, choosing a specific group of people that you want to serve, and then creating a product for that specific group of people. And I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. And that's what I did to get this thing off the ground.
Very cool. Do you know what the book was? Are you willing to name check it?
Yes. It's 12 Months to 1 Million by Ryan Moran. He's now a mentor of mine and it changed my life.
Yeah. And it's such a clever way to go about building an e-commerce business because it makes things so much more simple if it's customer first, product second.
Yes. And the really cool thing about it is when you launch your product, if you already have someone you're targeting to serve, you've likely already talked to them and you know that the product that you're launching serves their specific pain point. I don't know if you'll get repeat sales, but if you follow this method and process, I guarantee that you'll get sales from day one at least one time.
Yeah, because it's not all come out of your own head. It's come out of the actual target customer. I love it. Okay, cool. So layoff book, let's do this. What led you to go down the world of pet brands and pet products?
So I got laid off and obviously I had no money. I was broke. I had some savings that I was living off of. And I knew that no matter what I started, I had two routes to get the word out. It was either paid ads or organic social media. And I didn't have money for paid ads. So my only option was organic social media. And I have a dog. I have a doodle specifically, which is any dog mixed with a poodle. And I was like, okay, I think I can make content with my dog. That would probably be the most kind of straightforward, easiest way to do it. And I love my dog too. So it was a win-win. And so what I did was I made a decision that the brand I was going to start was going to be for doodle owners. I had no idea what product I was going to create. So what I decided to do, very scrappy, is I went on Facebook and I typed in doodle owners Facebook groups. And I joined a bunch of them and I posted in there and I said, hey, would anyone be willing to talk to me about the challenges of having a doodle? You'd be surprised how many people are willing to talk about their dogs. So met with a bunch of people. And the biggest challenge was that their hair gets matted easily. And I took the challenge, put it into ChatGPT and said, this is the pain point. What are some good products to create from this? One of the top ones was a detangler spray, which is what I chose. I looked at what's on the market and saw that everything was filled with harsh chemicals or ingredients I couldn't pronounce. So I said, yep, I'm going to create a doodle detangler spray. My differentiating factor is that it's going to be all natural human grade ingredients. And then I just started documenting my journey of creating this product on Instagram through my email list. I started building all that up and getting people excited for a launch that I had no idea when it was going to happen or if it was even going to happen.
Very cool. I love the niche and I love the community aspect. So I'm sure we'll get into both of those shortly, but let's just explain a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of the business before we go any deeper. So you're based in the US. Are you purely selling US or are you selling overseas as well?
All US.
Nice, keep it simple, like it. And is there still just the one product or have you expanded beyond just the spray?
We expanded. So my goal was to get this one product to a spot where I had systems in place where I could easily launch new products. So after about a year, we launched a second product. It's called a doodle shampoo, and that's growing even faster than the first one. And now we have, this year we'll be launching product 3 and 4.
Still always focused on the doodles.
Yep. This whole company is specifically for doodles. We already have thousands and thousands of customers. So it wouldn't make sense to get a different type of customer. Instead, we're going to keep launching products that serve the community and products that we know that they want to that same customer.
It sounds so simple, but so many people absolutely fail to do it. Has it been hard keeping focused and not getting distracted by other things? Or do you find it easy to continue committing to that niche?
To the niche, it's so easy because it makes everything a lot more straightforward, right? All my marketing is, are you a doodle owner? All my content is the DIY enrichment toys for doodles, or I know what doodle owners want and what they are looking for. And so I'm able to easily provide value. Now, sometimes there have been times where I've lost focus and had to put myself back on track. For example, I thought that Pinterest would be a great idea, which I'm sure it would be, but it was a bit of a distraction at that time. And so instead, it's better to just double down on what's already working and just stay in your lane until you have a much bigger team that can actually dedicate a lot of time to growing other areas.
Now, you're fast tracking your growth, but you're also bootstrapping. So what does the team look like? Because that's often one of the hardest things to get right when you're so focused on cash flow. So who's in the team? What are you outsourcing? What are you doing yourself?
I am the only person employed by Dude Wolf. And then I have an EA that works full time that I brought on board probably 4 months ago. And then I have a couple contractors for design. And obviously I have a manufacturer, and then just finance is outsourced.
Got you. And how do you decide what to give to the executive assistant, the EA, and what to keep yourself? Has that been a straightforward one for you, or has it moved over time?
It's moved. I feel really blessed and lucky that my EA is, she's amazing. And so as we've formed our relationship, we continue to build trust with each other. So things that I honestly never thought that I could get off my plate, I feel really comfortable showing her how to do it and then having her take that over. So that's been really nice. My goal is to give her all the day-to-day operation stuff, customer service, just little things that, like, we DM every single person that follows us on Instagram, just little things that just take a lot of time. And then I want to be focused more on product development and just corporate-y term, bigger picture things. But it's true. If I ever want to sell the business, I'm aware that can't be the one that's running the day-to-day things.
Oh, so true. So true. We mentioned about the fact you were building the community almost before you even had a product idea. You said that you're keeping that community going by doing the DMs as people follow you on Instagram. How else have you gone about consolidating that community and leveraging that community? Do they have to join something? Is it about joining your email list? What are the key parts for you that makes community work?
My community is a lot of different places. It could be on Instagram, TikTok. I have a Facebook group. But my email list is my bread and butter. This is where I want everyone at some point to be, because a couple reasons. One reason is that Instagram to sale, for example, is the hardest conversion. The easiest conversion is actually email to sale. So my goal with Instagram, my goal with TikTok is not to get them to sale, but it's to get them on my email list, actually. That's my call to action. A lot of what I do that's different than many e-commerce brands that I've seen is I don't really send out the 15% coupon email. Instead, I do very storytelling formats. And I also I write my own emails. That's a big part of what I want to keep doing. And I just talk to them about what's going on. Right now, I'm developing a new product. So I emailed the list and I said, hey, I'd love for would anyone be willing to hop on with me for 15 minutes? I'd love to show you what I have in mind, get your feedback on it. So I had a bunch of people respond. They're like, I'd love to. So those little things build up what I call like the VIP list. And those are the people that if you spend the time building trust with them, they're A, going to buy your products. They're going to be obsessed with your brand because they want to support you. And you can always go back to them and ask them for reviews. So I got a 1-star review on Amazon for my shampoo. And I sent an email to my list. And I was like, I got this 1-star review about the bottle leaking. This is what we're doing to change it. We're updating the packaging. Here's the picture to ensure there's no bottle leaking. By the way, if you love the product, it would mean so much to me if you could leave a review, an honest review on Amazon about your experience. And I got like 20 reviews from that, 5-star reviews. And that's just because over time I've built trust with these people and they want to actually support.
So it's like a true newsletter full of the news of what's actually going on rather than every other week a different offer on the product.
Yeah, and you can. Like sometimes I'll run promotions and sales, not really often, but you want people to want to open your emails, right? So my thought is if I get emails always about, hey, now this company's running this sale and this sale and this sale, like it's just noise at that point.
Yeah. And then you don't cut through and you don't get the interest from people and so on and so forth. So community, love those tips. Thank you. And then you've already gone on to 3 different sales channels, which is a lot more multiplication of work than if you were just on the one. So you've got your Shopify store, you've got your Amazon listings, and you've got the TikTok shop. And you mentioned about how, you know, you were trying to do Pinterest as a marketing channel and cut it back. What's your approach to balancing those 3 channels in the business? Because each of them requires different skills, different activity, different focus. So how do you decide where to put your effort between Amazon, Shopify, and TikTok shop?
I'm so glad you brought that up because you're 100% correct in that it's really hard to focus on all those channels at once. So what I do is all my traffic, I made a business decision that I want to drive all my traffic to Amazon, which is unconventional for most Amazon sellers in the sense that I run a lot of Facebook ads and most people would send that to their website. What I do is I run the Facebook ad, I send them to a landing page where I collect their emails, since Amazon doesn't give you any customer data after. So I collect the customer data up front to get them on my email list. And then I send them to Amazon after that. Most people will just send them to Shopify. That's totally fine. But I would say 75% of our sales come through Amazon. And because I only drive traffic through there, I do have like another portion of the business, 20% from TikTok shop. And that is just, that's a lot of what my EA focuses on too, is building influencer relationships through TikTok. They make videos and then that's how those sales come from. And then my website, I don't drive any traffic there. I think there's just some stragglers that would rather buy on the website, or we have some blogs that have been ranking, but we don't focus on that at all.
So you're doing that thing which the Amazon idealist, I suppose, would say, which is if you really want to make it work, you send traffic from off Amazon to on Amazon. You know, because we all know that the more you sell on Amazon, the more you sell on Amazon. So if you can feed the sales as well by sending people there, then you'll do better on the organic and so on and so forth on Amazon. I love that idea of sending the Facebook ads traffic to the email sign up form before you send it on to Amazon. Do you make it clear in the ads that they're going to somewhere that's an email sign up or that then they're going to Amazon? Or is it kind of like a click and then, oh, look, I'm on an email sign up page?
It's click. So kind of my flow is I get a lot of my creatives for Facebook ads from influencers, like just real people using the product. A lot of that comes from TikTok. Then we run the good ones. We obviously work with the influencer. We run the good ones as ads. And they click on the ad. It takes them to a landing page explaining the product. So it's not like sign up here. It's explaining like effortless grooming for your doodle, a bunch more UGC. So another benefit I want to call out for doing this is that if someone looks at the landing page and they're not interested, they'll leave right then. And it's only the really interested ones that will continue on, which means that once they actually get to Amazon, they're way more likely to convert. And so my conversion rate on Amazon is like insane. And Amazon loves that. And it boosts you up the rankings. So educating them off Amazon as much as you can is, I think, a good strategy. But yeah, so they go to the landing page and then there's an option. They can get a coupon for 15% off and that's when they can get my email. This is just a business decision I made. I do have an option where they don't have to give their coupon or they don't have to give their email. But a lot of people actually do give their email. So definitely recommend if you're running any sort of off Amazon traffic, getting that customer information up front and then nurturing them through email.
Got you. And so they've given you or not given you their email for that 15% off code. And then is that 15% off code happening on Amazon? That's a code to use on Amazon.
Yes, it is.
Got it. So you mentioned about in the emails that you're doing the high content rather than the discounting. And then we all know that on Amazon, it can become a price nightmare, race to the bottom against oodles of competitors and all those kind of challenges. And you are using a discount to encourage that first purchase on Amazon. Are you then doing lots of other promotions on Amazon as, you know, and price matching and worrying about your margin the whole time on there? Or have you, because you're doing so much in educating the customer and focusing on that niche, are you able to kind of play your own pricing game over there?
Yeah, the really neat thing about building an actual brand and not just slapping products on Amazon is that you're no longer worried about your competitors because people are searching for your brand. So my product, let's see, the detangler spray is double or triple the price of the competitors. My shampoo is not double, but people buy it a lot more often, but it's the most expensive shampoo on Amazon. And the benefit of that is I can then run promotions. I still have a ton of margin, so I'm able to put money back into the business. I'm able to put more money back into just serving my audience, like hire this EA that can now give amazing customer service to these people. And I'm not competing. I'm not going into price wars with Amazon sellers because I know that I'm getting those customers off of Amazon. Even if they don't buy right away, I'm nurturing them through email. And my highest searched keyword is Dude Woof Doodle Detangler Spray. So people are seeing stuff off of Amazon and going on Amazon just to search for the exact brand and product. So they don't really care about the other stuff that's $7 on there.
Nice. It really shows the power of the community activity that you're doing and the content that you're producing, that your number one search term is yourself. It's like that is clearly, clearly paying off.
And it makes it really a lot cheaper because those really expensive keywords that people try to rank for, because this is a high converting listing now, people are searching for the branded search terms. Amazon naturally knows it's kind of related to expensive keywords like dog detangler spray. And so without bidding super high on these keywords, it'll just organically put it into the pages, the first, second page, however, of those big words. So it like naturally increases your rankings on the really expensive keywords.
Which is never a bad thing. Never a bad thing. So you mentioned that, you know, obviously you're trying to keep things focused. You've expanded the team to give you more time to work on business development. You've got new products in the running. Anything else that's got you excited for the coming months and the year ahead?
Definitely the product development. I'm excited. These are fun projects to work on, and it's completely different than our first two. So a lot of focus on that. Additionally, I'm really interested in AI and how to implement AI more in the business. So we're figuring out what parts of the business we can automate more. And that's pretty exciting. Before, you would have to hire a lot more people. But we're taking the approach of, okay, let's figure out what kind of tools already exist, how we can automate our workflows. So that's been a big part of what we're working on now.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Running ads across a broad channel mix, but unsure where to invest your next pound? Alvi helps e-commerce experts like you with full funnel attribution, budget allocation, and automated bidding towards real business outcomes, so you can stop guessing and start scaling. Take children's clothing retailer POP, for example, who saw a 27% increase in average order value after implementing Alvi's bidding signals. Do you want similar results? Then go to ecmp.info/Alvi and book your demo. Make sure you add the note e-commerce master plan when you book to get your 3-month free trial. That's ecmp.info/Alvi to book your demo. ecmp.info/Alvie.
Jetzt gibt's Cheez-It, ein neuer knuspriger Snack, der köstlich nach Käse schmeckt. Hol dir jetzt deine Packung im Handel und das Beste, du kannst sie einmal gratis testen. Wer will heute Abend den Cheez-It? Cheez-It, der Cheez-It. Jetzt zum Gratis-Testen. Teilnahme ab 18 Jahren. Kauf- und Kassenbon-Upload bis 30. Juni erforderlich. Nur solange der Vorrat reicht. Teilnahmebedingungen auf Aktionspackungen und auf cheez-it-aktion.de.
It's time for the Top Tips Round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Alina, are you ready for the top tips?
Let's do it.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend? And is it the one you mentioned earlier, or are there more?
That would be the one that I would really recommend, 12 Months to 1 Million by Ryan Moran. It gives you a different perspective on how to build an e-com brand, which is, I think, the right way to build an e-com brand.
And given your success doing it, it does suggest it's a good route to go down. So love the fact we're doubling down on 12 Months to 1 Million. Go and get your hands on that, everybody. Now, the traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Niching down. I think it's Alex Hormozi that has this saying, when you try to target everyone, you're targeting no one. So by niching down, you can really focus on that specific person. It catches their eye in marketing, and you really learn about their pain points and can serve them well.
Simple, but so hard to do. So very cool. Tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I'll do two for this one. The first is something just that we do that I think is often overlooked. Everyone that follows us on Instagram, we DM them personally. And the reason is because if someone follows you on Instagram, they are essentially a lead. Like, they followed you for some reason. And I think that's a lot of times overlooked. And so we get a lot of sales from people that followed us that probably wouldn't have bought, but by us like manually reaching out to them and being like, hey, like, we just wanted to like see why you followed us. A lot of times that leads to sales. And then an actual tool that I really enjoy using for anyone that does anything on TikTok Shop, there's this bot called Yuka, and it helps you with a lot of the outreach and segmenting influencers. And it's just so much better to organize TikTok Shop through there versus an actual TikTok Shop platform.
And how are we spelling that one?
E-U-K-A. Yuka.ai.
Nice. I would never have guessed there was an E in there. So I'm glad I asked that one. Very cool. Yeah. I've not heard of that. So top tip. Carbon top tip to finish off. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Packaging, obviously, first of all. So as minimal packaging or as sustainable packaging as we can do, definitely puts thought into that. And then Personally, I moved into a new office space and it's so bright and light that we're just not using, first of all, it makes me happier, but then we're just not using the lights as much anymore. So I think that's a life hack, is more sun.
More sun, more daylight. Yeah, why hide ourselves away from it? Love that one. Alina, before we say goodbye, could you please let listeners know where they can find you and Dudeworth on the web and social media?
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at DoodWoofCo, DoodWoofCo.
Brilliant. Now, I know that you have somehow managed to find time to help other brands follow in your footsteps. So can you tell us a bit about your coaching services, please?
Yes, it's very straightforward. So I just do one-on-one hourly coaching. And if you're interested in getting help with building your e-com brand or just branding in general, you can reach out to me at www.alinatalksbrand.com.
Simple as that, everyone. alinatalksbrand.com. Alina, thank you so much for coming on and being so open, talking about how you're growing your business so fast. We really appreciate it. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Lots of juicy ideas there in the chat with Alina. I think for me, the two biggest ones would one be, no, I'm going to give you three, would one be the community and her focus on building that community and then leveraging that community to improve the business. The second one would be the clarity she has of the role of the different channels. TikTok is about getting email signups. Instagram is about getting email signups, not about selling, but about doing that. And then she's got the email campaigns ready to drive the sales. So love that focus. And then I think she's the first person I've ever come across who's doing Facebook ads to a landing page to get an email address to then give them a code to go and spend somewhere else. And I think that's such an interesting way of doing it. I would love to see the stats on that and see how it would work against a sales campaign. But really interesting, gets you thinking about doing something a bit different and the impact it might have. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct to episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and then you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things we share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode, then make sure you check out episode 396, where I'm chatting to another dog brand founder. This time it's Guy Blasky, explaining how he grew his D2C pet brand, Pooch & Mutt, to over £12 million a year. So a whole other level of growth discussion in that one. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including becoming more sustainable. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
Jetzt gibt's Cheez-It, ein neuer knuspriger Snack, der köstlich nach Käse schmeckt. Hol dir jetzt deine Packung im Handel und das Beste, du kannst sie einmal gratis testen. Wer will heute Abend den Cheez-It? Cheez-It, der Cheez-It. Jetzt zum Gratis-Testen. Teilnahme ab 18 Jahren. Kauf- und Kassenbon-Upload bis 30. Juni erforderlich. Nur solange der Vorrat reicht. Teilnahmebedingungen auf Aktionspackungen und auf cheez-it-aktion.de.